Good day, patrons, and welcome. It's good to be back.
Hello.
You know, somebody's like, hey, the headlines didn't get put in the Patreon feed. And I was like, I guess people are really starting to rely on the Patreon feed because I've never done that before on our day off. And it's the first time anybody really said anything about it. So we'll consider doing that. I think President's Day will be our next situation like that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm actually just now realizing that I didn't finish the Anchor FM posting yesterday for headlines.
Ah! Oh, well.
I'm so sorry, everybody.
That only affects the Google Home people. So
well,
Google
I'm
Home
sorry
people
to
got,
you, Google Home.
Got the day off.
Yeah, or people using the Anchor app, I guess. For whatever, because that, you know, that's always the first thing I do, right? And then I do all the other stuff. And then, you know, because I'm going in order of your checklist.
Well, if you use the Anchor app the normal way, you'd still got it. It's only if you go look at past episodes that you wouldn't see it. Hey, Lamar Wilson.
Hey, am I here?
You are. And just so you know, we're recording for the patrons.
Okay, excellent. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Lamar. Good to
Sarah,
see you.
Sarah, good to see you. Long time.
I know. You were at CES last week, were you?
I was not at CES. I boycotted. Actually, I was really sick. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hope you're feeling better.
Oh yeah. I got well enough to go to PAX South at the last minute.
So you did. You did it out of order. You got sick before going to CES.
Yes.
You're just like, you know, let me just get it out of the way. Instead of going to CES then getting sick, I'll just get sick.
It made a lot of sense at the time.
Very efficient.
Roger, did your little CES sickness clear up?
Yeah, it turned into a full-blown fever Friday night.
And that was Tom, not like, for the flavor of a Pringles?
No, it was so right after the show, around 8 or something, I had a temperature of 101. And I had a fever up until Sunday evening when it subsided, and then Monday just basically was aching.
Fevers are the weirdest thing because you need them because they're helping kill the bad stuff, but then they can also kill you. So it's like this Russian roulette with your own body. It's like so
I
weird.
Kid you not, I had the temperature and I was shivering. So I cranked up the heater to 100, like to 78, 75 degrees or something.
Yeah, foreigner doesn't know what they're talking about. When you have a fever, you are not hot-blooded. You're cold.
I was like, shh.
Well, sometimes when you have a fever, you're hot.
Yeah, you sweat. Well,
I was physically hot. Like, my wife was touched. She's like, you're hot. But, I was shivering. I felt cold.
I'm glad you're better.
Don't really remember the last time I had a fever, or at least nothing that was, I don't know, enough for me to know.
I think I had a mild fever.
Say it's the worst flu ever this season, and I'm like, I haven't had the flu since I was a kid.
We should be extracting your blood serum for flu shots.
I mean, I have to say, there are plenty other, it's not like I'm without health problems, but when it comes to the flu, somehow I've figured it out.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I'm just going to, I don't want to be vampiric,
but you might not realize it.
I kind of want your blood now.
You might get the flu, but you have such mild symptoms, you might not realize it.
That's good enough, right?
It's
that's
like
what
a
the
tree
flu vaccine.
Falling in the fort. If I don't feel it, do I have it?
The flu vaccine does the same thing.
I can pass it along.
Yeah, except that the one they gave out supposedly wasn't the one that they totally missed. The one that swept through all the big major metro.
I mean, don't put it that way. That makes people, they missed it. They did a bad job. They didn't miss it.
Well, it's
like the one they put out didn't work against the one that got popular.
Question, guys, related to the show real quick. Is my internet okay? Because you all are cutting in and out a little bit.
It's weird.
Your
audio's been okay, but your video is cutting out.
Okay. I'm right off the router, so I don't understand. That could be.
Are you torrenting season 2 of Victoria?
Not yet. I'm going to do that on Friday. Okay. I'm not sure. I'm trying to see what else I can close.
Yeah.
All these tabs open. But
and I know you. I have been to your house. I know you have good bandwidth.
Honestly, sometimes if I just like restart the Hangout, it clears itself up.
Yeah, I was considering doing that. I think that's what I'll do because yeah, everything else, the signal looks super strong.
Yeah, now you're doing okay. It's like something was stealing your bandwidth.
Yeah, let me close a few tabs that I have open. I'll be back in a minute.
All right, cool. So
let me ask a question, and I bet Tom knows the answer.
Okay.
Really quick.
How much?
Why do we say attorneys general rather than attorney generals?
Oh, because attorney is the noun and general is modifying the noun. So really,
why don't we say general attorneys?
Exactly. That was going to be like the question should be, why don't we say general attorney? Yeah. And that's just, I think it's just old fashioned. You know, when you see older English, we used to do that sort of romance language thing of putting the modifier after the noun more often, which is kind of common in other languages. We just don't do that as much, especially in the modern world. So, you know, the attorney general is like, he is an attorney, generally speaking, kind of is the implication, right? And so that's why you pluralize attorneys.
Yeah. I enjoy it, but it's like, it's one of those things I'm constantly like, oh yeah, we do it that way.
All right, Lamar.
The garbage man had to come by right now.
So testing, 1, 2, 7.
All right. Your video is heaven? Probably adapting. Let's give it a second or two.
Okay.
Audio sounds
you all are clearing up a little bit. Okay. Well, I guess audio is most important, so, right?
Yeah, yeah. As long as you can hear us, too.
Yes. Roger, a case on Sarah's story, well, the one she loves about the Google app. I tweeted out three of these matches for myself, and they're pretty hilarious. So if you want to grab them for the show, they're on at Lamar Wilson, two R's. They look just like me, too.
Mine wasn't bad. It only said like 44% match, but people were like, whoa, that's totally you.
No, these look not like me.
Oh, I see.
Especially the third one that's hilarious. It's like, I don't know.
Let me see if mine is actually.
They matched me up with this white lady named Catherine Howard. I'm like, I don't know. Okay, we can kind of work with that, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not trying to be. Here's mine.
So wait, is Herman Van Bergen the artist, or is that the name of the charcoal man?
I bet that's the artist.
I'll just have this up the whole time.
Other than the fact that the thing assumes because you're black, you're similar. That one's the least similar looking.
You know, I was just saying I said I'm offended, Google, because they said charcoal, and I just think that's hilarious. I'm not really offended, of course. But.
Portrait guy kind of reminds me. Who is that? I'm trying to remember his name. That musician.
There's mine.
He's
Roger.
He's just like nobody's is very accurate. Tom's, yours wasn't like super far off, but
no.
I haven't seen any of them where I'm like, wow, you look just like that old historical painting.
Is there a YouTube link I can tweet out for the stream?
You can do dailytechnewsshow.com/live. That'll have the YouTube video embedded in it.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to say that again just a moment.
Sure.
Okay. All right, say it again.
dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
.com/. Okay. I'm really slow today.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay.
All right.
Shorty Awards, that's still a thing?
Yeah, I was not, well, as usual, it's not nominated. I'm not bitter at all, bastards.
If nominated, you would not run. If you won,
I would not run.
You would not serve.
I would do a Romney. I would keep denying it to the last minute and then jump in.
I am Romney, hear me roar. I am here to, I don't know.
Is that his campaign song? That's a little scary.
I once was a governor.
So should we go ahead and take the video live, Roger?
Yeah, probably best we do. Let's see, where is...
If we must.
If we must. All right, starting the broadcast.
Woohoo!
Whoop.
Give it...
This is my favorite time of day.
Because you're about to do your very favorite show.
With my very favorite people.
With very favorite people.
And a guest.
Yes, Roger's here too.
Oh, thanks, Lamar.
You're welcome.
You know, you know, make it better? Dole Whip.
I mean, that kind of makes everything better.
This looks hot.
Can you get a Dole Whip outside of Disneyland or Disney World? Is that even...
I think you...
I mean, I'm sure it's not hard to recreate. You can get an off-brand thing, but...
Off-brand Dole Whip. It's like off-brand Cool Whip. Like, Cool Whip is fake enough.
But it's Ocean really Spray want... Whip.
Sounds kind of nasty.
Listen, man.
Actually, I still think Billy Ocean and Ocean Spray should do a deal.
They should get out of your dreams and into a commercial.
And into one of these bottles.
Get into my spreadsheets. Google Docs jokes.
Yay.
Always funny.
So good.
I was asking our friend, starts with an A, just like, you know, I don't know if you guys get the email newsletters where it's like, here's what's new. But I'm still getting used to having a smart speaker. So I'm like,
that friend, so Alex. Like, a.
What's that? Right.
Yeah.
Alex A. She tells really terrible jokes. I spent quite some time with that yesterday. And like, they were so bad that it was fun. So if anyone wants to kill 15 minutes, you know what to do.
Okay. Google.
Is this turned off?
Hey. Siri.
Actually, she did have one good one that was, it was, what's the difference between a joke and a rhetorical question? And I sat there waiting for the answer, and then I realized that was the joke.
That was the joke. That's funny. You know, my favorite joke of all time is two men are in a boat. The third man turns to the second man and says, what am I doing here?
Why is that a joke?
Well, this is
two men are in a boat.
I know, I get, but
third
like...
Third man turns to the second man and says, what am I doing here?
Oh, okay.
But
it's kind of the same lines of what's the difference between a joke and a rhetorical question and then not ask answer.
Mm-hmm. You will be great at parties.
Believe me, I'm not let out of the house, Lamar.
Yep. Real party tricks.
So, Lamar, we were doing the quick hits thing last time you were on, weren't we? I think we were.
I don't think so. I haven't been on in months.
I know. It's been too long. So these things in blue are just things we like read. We don't stop. And then when Sarah gets to the Evan Blass story, that's when we'll actually start doing little discussions. But those ones in blue are just like, hey, did you know? We don't really have a whole lot else to say about it.
Oh, okay, cool. Then I won't interrupt.
Oh, and we're also doing a hey from Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt. And you can say wherever you want. You could lie. You could say on the moon. I don't care. But let's have you do that.
Hey, I'm Lamar Wilson from Los Angeles.
Space Station.
Yeah.
Lamar Wilson. That's where it sounds like I'm from or looks like I'm from, probably. I'm floating. Can I just do like this the whole time? And just have my pops float by somehow?
From video heaven.
Exactly. Sponsored by Hanson's from Trader Joe's.
You know, I used to love their cherry soda. I used to get it all the time.
This is ginger ale.
Yeah, how's it?
It's excellent.
All right.
Wait, does Hanson's make cherry soda?
DTNS is not sponsored by Hanson's. I don't know. They used to. It's been a long time since I got it.
I'm going to run down there and try to find that because that's...
It was pretty good. All right, you guys, you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do this. Here we go. 3, 2.
The Daily Tech News Show is brought to you by people like me, not outside organizations. To learn more, go to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, January 16th, 2018, from DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline at the beach, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from Los Angeles, California, I'm Lamar Wilson.
A lot of Los Angeles in the house today, but we're very happy to have you back, Lamar.
Thank you. It's been forever. It's been eons, and I am mad at you.
I am mad at you, too.
Yes, you are my best friend, though, so it
doesn't
matter.
Oh, yeah. also with us today is everyone's best friend, Roger Chang.
Hello. I'm possibly everyone's best friend.
Post-CES sickness,
it's
right?
It's not up to you, Roger. It's up to us. Yeah. And you're our best
friend. And guess what? You are. Yeah, be nice to Roger. He's getting over the CES flu, or at least a flu, possibly from CES. Although Sarah and I didn't get it. So.
Nothing worse.
But let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Congressional aides tell Reuters that U.S. lawmakers are urging AT&T to cut commercial ties with China's Huawei and oppose plans for China Mobile to enter the U.S. market. AT&T abandoned plans to carry Huawei's latest handset earlier this month.
Democrats have convinced Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins to support a resolution to reinstate the open internet guidelines, which the FCC recently voted to change. Now, Collins' vote would give them 50 in the 100-member Senate, meaning they'd still need one more if they wanted to pass the resolution. The resolution would also need to pass the House and be signed by the president, neither of which are very likely.
Microsoft ended mainstream support for Windows 8.1 on January 9th, and the last path to a free upgrade to Windows 10 ended today, Tuesday, January 16th. This last path was meant for users of assistive technology.
So if you're watching this live or you got it before the end of the 16th, hurry. Still have time. For the end of the day. Google said Tuesday it's adding 5 cloud regions to its existing 13. These are places with data centers that help serve G Suite and cloud and all the stuff that it does infrastructure-wise. The Netherlands and Montreal regions will open this quarter, followed by Los Angeles, Finland, and Hong Kong. And Google is commissioning 3 new submarine cables in 2019. Google has direct investment in 11 cables. So they essentially are building their own internet. Because the other one isn't good enough for them. Now, here are some more top stories. Kick us off, Sarah.
Evan Blass, a.k.a. of Leaks, who you might be following on Twitter, posted on Twitter that according to a C-level executive at a major casemaker, the Samsung Galaxy S9 and S9 Plus will both launch on February 26th, with pre-orders starting March 1st and then shipping beginning on March 16th. Samsung is expected to make this official announcement at Mobile World Congress, which also begins February 26th. Who's excited?
Well, I got to ask first, is the C-level employee like the janitor? What level?
No, it's the employees that work at the ground level. They're C-level, okay. Not up in the mountains.
I honestly was curious, like, who's selling this?
No, it's spelled with the letter C. Sarah, explain.
it's C-level executives are high ups, people who would report to a CEO.
Yeah, CEO, okay. CTO, CFO, that's the... where they get the C.
Oh, okay. I learned something today. Excellent.
Yeah. There you go. You are a C-level executive of your own show, I would assume.
I would like to, well, would I be A-level if it's mine? Or
yeah, you're above C-level. You're mountain level. So I think we have our answer. We're all like, okay, let us know when you have the details on the Samsung Galaxy S9. We know there's a million rumors out there floating, but we want the official word. But yeah,
the timing of it at Mobile World Congress, it would almost be weird if it didn't coincide.
Yeah, no, nicely. Exactly.
So, you know, and that's, it's always around the same time every year. So, well, you know, new Samsung phone, Lamar?
Not for me. Not me. I'm loving my X, or 10, excuse me, before Apple kills me for saying that. But I gotta say I thought this was early. Now you're saying it's around the same time every year, and just maybe it's just my memory. It seems like it's an early launch.
No, they've changed it around. They don't. They've done it later. You're right. But Samsung said they were going to do it at Mobile World Congress. So
okay,
we're not surprised that part is happening. But yeah, they are shifting it a little bit again. Hey, have either of you ever had problems with a Chromecast where you have it on and it feels like your Wi-Fi is not working right?
Yes.
You're not imagining it. Mice.com, M-Y-C-E.com, reports that Google Cast devices, including the Chromecast, can temporarily interfere with multiple brands of routers. Now, TP-Link and Linksys have confirmed the issue, but there's a lot of other brands of routers that people are reporting they have the similar issue with. Recent Android updates seem to be the cause. It used to be that they would send, like, every 20 seconds out of sleep mode a packet to say, hey, is the Cast out there? We just want to make sure in case we're needed. And now, with a recent Android update, these devices flood the network with packets. So it's most often going to happen when you have an Android device connected to the same Wi-Fi network as the Chromecast. But they're looking for those Cast devices, and they cause problems when they're flooding the network with these connections. So Linksys and TP-Link have issued firmware updates to address the problem. If you've got those routers, you might want to look for that firmware update. And Google says it's also working to address the issue.
Yeah, I have three Android TVs in the house, and I have a Netgear router, and I noticed as soon as yesterday when I got in from my from PAX South, I was trying to put about five videos to watch while I was taking care of things, and I noticed it was hiccuping, and I was like, maybe it was just warming up because I wasn't around for a few days. And before this story, I actually was having a lot of problems getting the Chromecast that's built in to work. So it's interesting that this is confirming the issue that there is something going on.
Yeah, not sure. Your imagination.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the Netflix Helps Twitter account posted in response to a question that there are currently no plans for Netflix on Nintendo Switch. That was the tweet. A spokesperson, a representative from the company, tells Polygon that Netflix actually is still talking to Nintendo about it. Hulu launched on the Switch in November, and Japanese video hosting site Nico Nico is on the Switch in Japan. So sounds like
I got really excited when Hulu showed up on my Nintendo Switch and I watched a thing on it and went like, oh, this is really cool. Never did it again. Lamar, is this something you're excited about?
No, and you're a perfect case for that. Like I missed when the game console, or in this case a portable one, was just that. A game console, and I like that Nintendo was fighting not putting all these apps on, whether they drained a battery or caused other issues. I liked that it was just a pure device, nothing but video games. So I was actually disappointed that they retracted and say, oh no, it might be coming. I absolutely don't want any of those apps on there causing any problems on my beautiful, perfect Switch.
Well, you don't have to put them on, right? It's not like they make you.
Okay, that's a fair point, but I want everybody to be like me.
I have to take devil's advocate since we actually agree. But I get.
Oh, so we froze. You froze for a minute.
Yeah, no, I froze because I was having to download the devil's advocate program. I get that if you can only afford to have one thing, and that one thing you want is the Nintendo Switch, you don't want to have to buy a cheap Roku or something. You're like, isn't it great if I could just get my Netflix and Hulu on one device? Save me the money.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, it's not going to like make the Switch any worse. I mean, if you have a Netflix account, it seems like just having the option is better than not, even if you don't use it.
I know. I'm just being that guy. I'm being that gamer that doesn't, change.
Is it a design thing where you're like, no, I just want just my games. I don't want anything else.
Yeah. I don't want to see anything else popping in there. I just want to see my list of games.
Yeah.
It's weird.
All right. Fair enough. So you could tweet Netflix Helps and be like, no, just keep it. Keep it the way it is.
I think I will.
A Canadian man has been charged with, quote, mischief in relation to computer data. It's apparently a Canadian thing. For disrupting more than 1,000 broadcasts at a time with racist and homophobic message, as well as disturbing images, Twitch investigated the attacks and found they originated with a service called ChatSurge, which is allegedly run by the man who's been charged. The case is due to go to court in February. But I'll be honest,
wow.
I looked at this and I was like, wow, I've seen this kind of behavior before, not just in Twitch. I've seen it on YouTube. I've seen it everywhere on the internet where people just flood a chat room. I think this is the first time I've heard of someone getting charged with a criminal charge for that.
Were these 1,000 broadcasts all Twitch broadcasts?
Yeah, they're all on Twitch.
No. Okay. And this is not, I haven't been on I'm not exactly sure when this was all happening, but I didn't see anything like this. But is this, besides, yeah, people being crazy in chat rooms, I mean, if it's just a way to be able to spread a hateful message to many, many broadcasts simultaneously, it's kind of a big deal.
Well,
yeah.
It's a big deal to be able to say anything, you know.
To me, it's less about what he said. I mean, people say crappy stuff on the internet all the time. I'm not trying to condone that, but I feel like what he was doing, what he's being charged with, is the disruption, which I find that very interesting. So it's not the content of his message, but he went in and disrupted the ability of these thousand channels, right? But also, he kind of seems to have done it as a marketing promo to say, like, "Hey, did you see that surge yesterday? That was my service. You want to get your commercial message out there? Talk to me. Look what I can do."
I think that's interesting. Yeah, I watch Twitch every night, and depending on what popular channel I might jump in, I've seen these type of attacks where you could tell it's a bot running, and they're sending, you know, and if you try to block them, another one will pop up with just like two letters or two different numbers after the name, and it's just a constant barrage. And so I was pleased to see that, you know, there's something being done. I don't think it can stop all of it, but at least it'll put people on notice that, you know, at least one country is interested in, you know, taking these people down who do this.
Well, and like you say, I mean, it's a deterrent to a point. Some people who might have thought this was a fun thrill ride will go, "Oh, wait, you can actually get in serious trouble about that? Well, never mind. Mm-hmm. I don't want to risk it." Other people who really want to do sort of this thing, or if they're trying to make a spam business out of it, will say, "Okay, well, make sure I don't operate in Canada, I guess," and then carry on with it. So, you know, I'm not sure what other piece of the puzzle has to happen to really dissuade the majority of bad actors. But that said, I find it kind of a milestone that they've caught someone. You know, Twitch went to work, right? And they tracked this person down and caught them. Now they're going to face a court case.
I love, mischief always kind of makes it seem like, oh, it's just, you know, just some mischief by, you know, some little
mischief
mice
managed
in the computers. Just kind of
do your hands like this, you know. Just.
But again, you know, and like you said, Tom, it's not so much what he was saying, just the fact that he was able to flood so many broadcasts at once. But that's, you know, you could, in fact, we're going to talk about that in our discussion, how, you know, a message can uproot all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, accurate messages are important.
All right, so hot app over the weekend alert. If you did not see lots of people posting images of themselves, plus a illustration of an old artist or author, well, then you are not familiar with Google's Arts and Culture app, which features a tool to compare your own face, which you take within the app by giving it access to your camera, and then compares them to famous portraits and see how well you match with someone from yesteryear. It's all good fun, except some people are worried that Google is using it to build a database of photos associated with real user accounts. The company says, no, the photos submitted, not used to train machine learning programs, build a database of faces, or anything like that. It's just claiming, Google's just claiming that the photos are stored for the time it takes to make the match. I tried it. I didn't like my match, so I'm not going to show you guys what it was because I was insulted. But it was, you know, it was at least widely used at least once.
I tried it and only got a 43% match, but everybody on Instagram was like, "Oh my gosh, it's a dead ringer. It's totally you." And
it's
to me,
a dead ringer.
It's all about the face positioning and the expression. It's not so much that they look like me.
Right. I also just feel like, okay, well, here's a less than 50% match with someone that isn't you. Like, I'm like,
this is
okay. Lamar got matched 38% with Catherine Howard, Lady DeBigny. Like, that is a Baroque white woman. Sorry.
I'm not seeing the problem here.
I mean, if that's who you feel like inside, I'm not going to judge, but this does not look like you.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
This one with the nose, I would give him that. The nose matches.
The hair is not the same with hair, the portrait the lips, Ben Predicate, though.
The lips are not the same. But yeah,
you've got the same. You've got kind of the same expression in that one.
Right. I think that's what they're going for with this was expression. And this one, I told Google I'm offended because they called me charcoal. but that's okay. I won't go there.
That's
I
just the
there.
Medium in which the artist was working. You realize yeah, that? Okay.
Exactly. I do know. But yeah, and that was the biggest match. 53%? I forgot what it said, but yeah, none of those except the second one I could say kind of has a resemblance. But
have you thought about getting one of those wigs, one of those old fashioned wigs?
Yeah. I mean that's how I want to do my shows from now on.
Yeah, there's like yeah. a place in London that still makes them for barristers and stuff who have to wear them in court there. So we should do a road trip. We'll all get wigs.
Done. Done. It's going to happen.
Sarah,
I'm already wearing a wig, so.
Well, your wig is not like a barrister wig, though, so.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. But I did powder it this morning.
Powdered wig. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. Also available on the Amazon Echo, Google Home, and in the Anchor app. Just, 5 minutes or less, and you get to stay up to date.
I love it.
Look at the headlines. Are you a listener, Lamar?
I am. Sorry, you caught me drinking. That's trying to go to the commercial.
Yeah. Cool. Sorry about that.
I listen all the time on a Google Assistant. So
see, because Veronica says she listens all the time too. So now I'm like doubly self-conscious that I shouldn't make mistakes when I do that.
Good. Don't do it.
Hey, as most of you likely heard by now, Saturday morning around 8:05 a.m., residents in Hawaii got a text message saying ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. If you don't live in Hawaii or you don't know this, Hawaii is about 20 minutes by ballistic missile from North Korea. And of course, with all the latest current events, the idea that North Korea might just up and shoot a ballistic missile at Hawaii was not beyond the realm of possibility. So most people took this seriously. It was not a drill, but it also was not a real warning. It was user error. An employee at the start of his shift was meaning to test the system, something they put in place last fall with the rising threat to say, let's always be making sure the system works. The option on the screen that he meant to pick reads drill, PACOM CDW, state only. Two options up, above a tsunami warning, is the option PACOM CDW, state only. The only difference between that and the drill is the word drill. So if you read too quickly, you might select the wrong one, which sends a real alert to everyone, and that's what the employee did. Now, it still makes you confirm, but I think this is a classic case of like, oh yeah, I just always click OK, right? Just always click OK. So he clicked on it, clicked OK, and that thing went out. Now, a tweet at 8:20 from Hawaii Emergency Management Agency declared no missile threat, but it took them 38 minutes to send a follow-up wireless alert stating that the warning was a mistake because they didn't have a built-in process for the false alarm. So they fixed a lot of this. A cancellation option has now been put in place to allow for a false alarm note to be sent immediately if necessary. And they suspended these test drills for the time being so that we don't have anyone make the same mistake again. And even when they go back to drills, they will now require two people to activate one. So in other words, if one person clicks the thing, a second person confirms that the right thing was clicked and presses okay, for lack of a better word.
So is this kind of like Star Trek where it has to be the captain and a commanding officer to have the ship blow up? You have to have the two confirm.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
it's
in this case,
it's like two factor auth when one employee has not had his coffee.
Exactly. Yes. Now, you could still get into a situation where someone is all, if two people were working on this a lot, they're like, you might get in the habit of like, can you press okay, Bob? Yeah, sure, without looking. The fact that this has happened will probably prevent that from happening, right? Because everybody's going to be extra careful to be like, did you press, which one did you click? Did you click the right one? But it does seem to be a little bit of a user interface problem too.
Well, and when you explain what happened, you go like, okay, well, they should have been marked differently. This was almost bound to happen at some point, right? Because sometimes people just aren't paying attention, or yeah, they're mismarked, or they've got titles that are confusing, especially at the start of a shift. I don't know, maybe it was early in the morning or late at night or whatever.
Yeah, it was eight in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, well, whatever time their shift started, but and you can almost chuckle like, well, this is a pretty big mistake. But I don't live in Hawaii, but I have friends who do. And I mean, it was for a short period of time until everybody realized what was going on. Mm-hmm. That's one of the scariest things that I'm ever going to read on my smartphone.
No doubt.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, one of the good things about this, if you know, there's good to come out of it, is that this is never, ever going to happen again. Oh, wait, it happened today in Japan, didn't it? They had the same issue on there where they had an alert pop up for North Korea. It's not listed in your stories, but I just know, I saw it earlier on the news, and so you know, Japan had their own problem with their alert system because they were doing the same thing, testing the system. So you know there has to be some kind of redundancy built in. We need to do the same thing here in the U.S. to make sure that you know there's no panic. You know, happens around
some breaking news.
No, this is Japan. This is a good point. What happened in Japan apparently was the NHK app delivered the alert. So it's like one step down, right? Your trusted national broadcaster delivered the mistaken alert versus the actual emergency.
The actual system, yeah, exactly.
But it's still not good because everybody's like, oh, I trust NHK. Like if they're telling me this is a problem, it must be a problem. And in fact, in the screenshots of the Verge story, you see a local news app's notifications passing along the original alert, like an alert has been fired. And then they're the quickest to correct it. Like, okay, we looked into it. Not a real alert. You know, you guys might want to calm down, but this is
exactly,
this is a problem. And I wonder if we're going to find out
also,
that the Japanese
like running a ballistic missile, you're maybe not checking for updates. Like you're in full panic mode.
Well, yeah, you're seeking shelter and you're panicked and you're probably calling your loved ones, you know, and
right. Yeah. She's choosing who to save. And then there's also the, you know, I know that when there are Amber Alerts, right, when, you know, like a kidnapping or something, which happens in Los Angeles with regularity, you know,
yes,
I know people who have those turned off. And I always say, well, don't turn those off. You know, it's like, got to be good Samaritans here. You know, we all got to, you know, stick together and make sure that, you know, we're part of the system. But if you don't trust the system, then that's a bad thing, too.
Well, then, yeah, that's the biggest problem with this.
I think this underscores the need for why user interface is so important. A lot of people sometimes dismiss it as more of window dressing and kind of a nice to have feature, but usability is I mean, it seems to be like what the actual issue is. I mean, other than maybe staffing, but just having something so you just don't inadvertently press the wrong button.
Yeah,
so there's a reason.
Looking at this image that they showed, and apparently it's a mock-up because they don't want to show you the exact image for security reasons, but
absolutely, yeah.
It looks like what they counted on was, well, the first word is drill, and then PACOM. I'm told by Amos that it's PACOM, not PACOM. And so you'll look for the word drill, and that's the one you'll pick, but we know how it goes. Eventually, your mind just starts looking for the familiar word in the sentence, and that's probably what happened to this guy. You need it to be in an entirely different place, in a different color, et cetera, et cetera.
Different part of the screen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, quadrant or something. A different computer. Go to a different computer to do it.
Yeah, one for the drill. You know, one screen for the drill and one screen for the real ones. Yeah. All right, well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. Sarah, you have a thing of the day for us.
Well, it's kind of all of our thing of the day. If you happen to watch, speaking of Facebook, any of our Facebook Live videos, we just had some fun at CES and tried to stream live. One in particular had a little sneak peek at our new show logo, the DTNS show logo, which we decided, hey, you know, first of the year, it's 2018, you know, we're ready to show off a kind of a new cool look. And it's awesome. Mustafa, our good friend who did the original logo as well, gave us a nice update and we're all really happy with it. We hope you all like it.
Yeah. So, first of all, everything that's in the store with the old logo must go. So get in there and buy it while it's, you still can. And then we'll be unveiling the official logo. I don't think Roger has it at hand right now, but keep an eye out for it because we'll
I thought you were all going to show it. Now, what a tease, Sarah. I expected
Roger.
I really didn't.
give me 1 second.
All right, we're gonna give Roger 1 second to look up the logo. In the meantime, let's check in with Chris Christensen about some new in-flight customer resolution options for American Airlines flyers.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. If you're flying an American Airlines plane in the future and something goes wrong and you happen to be an American Advantage member, a member of their frequent flyer program, don't be too surprised if one of the flight crew pulls out their tablet and very quickly solves the problem by giving you some credit of extra miles. There's a new program that they're just launching called iSolve that will enable the staff to compensate for problems during a flight during the flight itself. I suspect what they're doing here is they're hoping that if they solve things earlier, it will cost them less and it will keep customers happy. So it sounds like an interesting program. Don't be too surprised if other airlines replicate it. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
Excellent.
That is very good. That's very good.
I like the ability. Well, do you think it causes more complaints though if people know that they can do that?
Probably, but it'll stop the tweet storms that from when you land. So
watching Roger go through his email.
Yeah, no, that's the key is like getting people to stop the tweets when they reconnect once they get on the ground. Like it's all taken care of. Don't tell anyone. If you say anything, say something nice. So yeah, if you're watching the video version, there is the new DTNS logo from Mustafa at the Polar Cat. It's awesome. And we, big thanks to him, for doing that. And Roger, we'll need to put this in the Dropbox so we can put a link in the show notes for people to take a look at it as well.
Yes.
Yeah. My seal of approval.
Thanks, Lamar. All right. Let's check the mailbag.
Let's do it. So Bruce from Peterborough, Canada said on Friday's show, you were wondering what the benefit is to Facebook changing its newsfeed algorithm to focus on meaningful social interactions. I mean, that is sort of the benefit, right? But Bruce says, I don't think Facebook is just doing this on its own to improve user experience. I think it's about increasing revenue from sponsored content. Mark Zuckerberg and his team are completely silent on whether this change affects boosted posts, and I bet it doesn't. With the change, page owners would be forced to spend even more time to get their content, spend even more money, rather, to get their content in front of users. When Facebook made its algorithm change in June of 2016 to prioritize posts from friends and families, our expenses on boosted content from our Facebook page, Bruce is talking about his own, increased by at least 50%. And now Facebook constantly prompts us to boost our posts to reach a wider audience. Bruce says, I hate this, but it's a brilliant strategy. If it indeed is a strategy.
It could be. I've seen a lot of people speculate that this is the plan. Whether it's the plan or not, it does seem to be the effect is that if you want to reach those people in the newsfeed, you got to pay for a boosted post because that's the only way to show up there and not be relegated to the Explore tab.
Yeah. I also, Facebook is somewhat of a mystery, but, trying to make sense of what's really going on here, because of course, Facebook is also in the business of making money above and beyond pretty much any feel good user experience that they might say that they care about. It's a, money making company, but the fact that the VP in charge of the newsfeed, Adam Mosseri, said, what we also want are posts that are popular but don't have a lot of engagement in the form of comments will be devalued or valued lower than before. And it's like, that's just odd. It's like saying, well, if comments are turned off on a blog post that a lot of people read, does it make it less of a popular blog post? Like, I don't think...
Well, but they're talking about comments within Facebook. So what they're saying is you need to get people on Facebook talking about your article if you want it to show up. And I think that's good.
I guess. I mean, half the time I never comment on anything because then I have to go and turn off notifications for the comments that happen after my comment. Doesn't mean I didn't want to comment, though.
But people do comment on Facebook, so yes. Sometimes too much. There's a an incident in Slovakia, which is one of the test markets for this, where a fake news article got runaway play in the new system because everybody was talking about it, and the official denouncement from the Slovakian police didn't show up in the news feed because it was relegated to the Explore tab. So there you go.
Wow.
Well, thank you to Lamar Wilson. I know you said you hadn't been on the show in a while. You haven't been on the show when I've been on the show. So
I know.
Nice to do the show with you.
Welcome. Welcome. First
time, but tell folks what you've been up to all these months.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm still running the YouTube channel, the living that gaming lifestyle and, you know, talking about tech and gaming. Just came back from PAX South. So I'll have some insights on that this week on the channel. So if you want to follow me there, it is youtube.com/Lamar Wilson. Just unboxing and talking and having a good time with tech and gaming. Just love it. It's a good channel, I think.
Excellent. Go check it out, folks. YouTube.com/Lamar Wilson. There's two R's in Lamar. There's no R's in Wilson. Also, you can support this show directly on Patreon. We don't have ads. We have you, and we love it. Patreon.com/DTNS, and of course, DailyTechNewsShow.com/store if you want to find all of the cool old logo stuff before it goes away.
Got something to say? Email us. Our email address is feedback@DailyTechNewsShow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC at AlphaGeekRadio.com and DiamondClub.tv. And our website is DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Were you all able to see my whiteboard in the back?
Yes, I meant to mention something about that before the show and I forgot. That's so cool. Thank you.
I thought you were trying to block it.
Oh, yeah. I don't want people to see that I love. No, and my videos always put something silly in the back, so I decided, since I'm sitting here at the same table, put something that's not true back there.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh. I'm kidding.
All right.
Love you guys.
Let's figure out a shoot. Oops. DTNS. Showbot.tv. Will Netflix switch its mind? Ha ha ha. Google thinks internet sucks, builds its own. Now casting of My CE and Men. Above sea level. So what are you in for? Chatting in Twitch. He's in jail. Make warning system like on Star Trek. I think that system actually required three people, not just two.
No, it was two.
You need the captain, the first officer, and the head of engineering.
In later Star Treks, like in Voyager, you could just do command one. Override, and then
I was just watching an episode of Voyager. She did self-destruct, and she didn't use Chakotay at all.
Yeah,
it was just her. Maybe because she was the true captain of the ship, and he
command
wasn't
override authorization Janeway Alpha B.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the worst thing to do. I have a backdoor key to blow up the ship. I'm desperate.
Hey, it was stuff out there in a Delta Quadrant, man.
You know, they just do what they always do: crash the ship into something else. Problem solved. Nintendo switches on Netflix. The Netflix Switch. Google's museums full of doppelgangers. Exit 8.1. Why am I missing that one?
Exit 8.1 would be Windows 8. No more free upgrade.
Chromecasting Wi-Fi problems. Give me perfect video gaming. Netflix does what Nintendo don't. Ha 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 ha. That doesn't actually make sense though because.
Netflix doesn't do it if Nintendo doesn't also do it. So,
It's a nod to the old Sega Genesis commercial.
No, I get that they wanted to do the Sega Genesis commercial illusion. I'm just not certain that it works perfectly well.
Two-factor doomsday alerts. Two-switch authentication. The nuclear drills of Aloha.
Okay.
Let me see.
Switch that system off? No.
I like the two people who voted for Roger as everyone's best friend.
Wait, why is that funny? Because it's sad?
No, it's just like, of all the titles that we'd be like, that's most all-encompassing, you know, kind of what the show is about. It's like just a funny thing at the beginning of the show.
It's really just Roger's friend circle. You know, I'd totally be down with that.
All right, what's the title?
Well, you are everyone's best friend. Again, not your choice.
Pretty much.
I'm going to vote for it and ruin everything.
Can we have an alert for the alert?
Oh, I like that one.
That's it? Can we have an alert for the alert? Okay,
sorry,
done.
I'm so sniffly today.
Uh-oh.
I'm sneezy.
Just
today.
As I got done saying, I never get the flu.
You just gave it to me, sir. Are you in L.A.? Because what has happened?
Yeah.
Everyone lives in... So this is the awful truth, and this is how you know we live in the Matrix. Not the Matrix. Everyone lives in L.A. Even though people may say they're not living in L.A., we're all in L.A.
So is this whole show right now in L.A.? That's amazing. Yeah.
I guess it is. Shows, yeah.
Has been and always will be.
At least L.A. County. Roger's not in L.A. proper, but...
Right. He's in that secret city.
It's in that, you know, it's one of those things. It's like London, like, or New York. Like, it's just a general region for most people now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're paying, you know, the city a fine, you know.
I find that people who are even in Anaheim still say they're in L.A., which really bothers me.
Like the Why? Angels?
Because they're not in L.A. They're not even in L.A. County. They're in Orange County.
Well, it's like people in San Jose saying they're in San Francisco. No one does that. San Jose people don't do that. They might say Bay Area, but they don't say they're in San Francisco. Anaheim is that far from L.A. And yet, yeah, for some reason, they don't say I'm in.
Jets play in a whole different state.
Maybe the problem is there's no equivalent to Bay Area for L.A.
Yeah, it's called the L.A. Land, isn't it? Like what they call the greater land. L.A. metro region.
Well, you could just call everything Golden State.
Yeah,
never. We've already got that going.
And then everyone has to cheer for the Warriors.
Exactly.
I mean, it is. It's a whole state we're talking about. Never really understood how that happened, but whatever.
What, California?
Right now.
Well, we know how that happened now. The Golden State thing, yeah.
Yeah, who decided,
I think they're supposed to be renaming themselves to the San Francisco Warriors when the new stadium opens.
Well, they were originally the San Francisco Warriors. It was only when they moved out of San Francisco that they decided to go Golden State.
Right.
But that was
they've been so, you know, it's East Bay, it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
So where are they then, like, when they moved? They're in Oakland. So they didn't want to name themselves Oakland Warriors.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, at the time, a lot of sports teams were like, hey, we can get fans outside of our metro area if we choose our name after the state, because then people all over the state will identify with us.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
It didn't really work.
But it's like, that also doesn't really, like, it's, but that, how like, accurate is that really? I mean, they're an East Bay team.
Well, no, and you've seen teams go back the other way now, where, like, mm-hmm. you know, like the Florida Marlins are now the Miami Marlins, because they're like, you know what? That doesn't work.
Although, you do have the Arizona Cardinals.
Who were originally the Phoenix Cardinals, and then changed
originally
to Arizona.
Originally the St. Louis.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in their move, like from their move, they were the Phoenix Cardinals for the first season, I think, and then they changed to Arizona.
Okay, Tom, you have too much sports knowledge. What are you doing with this tech thing, man? You need
all my sports knowledge is outdated, though.
You get on.
As soon as you hit 1993, all my sports knowledge ends.
I wasn't even born in 93. I'm lying. Okay, I was born in 93.
Oh, you weren't. No.
Wait,
no.
You were born in the 90s?
Right. No. Lamar's 18.
I call myself a 90s kid because I was technically 12 in the 90s. So I claim 90s kid. And it irritates everybody when I say that on Twitter. They're like, you can't be a 90s kid. You were born in the 70s. But I'm like, but a 12 year old is.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were like about to graduate high school, if you're 17, you're still a kid.
That's right. So I claimed the 90s.
I was 17 when I graduated in the 90s, in the early 90s.
So was I.
This says a lot about all of us, because what I try to do is claim I'm born in the 60s, because 1970 is technically the 60s.
How does that work?
Because it's the last year of the decade. Technically, the decade doesn't start till 71.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just like that we're all trying to stretch the truth. Y'all are trying to stretch it to make you younger, and I'm trying to stretch it to make me older.
So in 1999, on New Year's Eve, were you the guy who was like, it's not really the new millennial yet?
I definitely said it at least once.
He would actually put on the old nerd glasses that they gave Tech TV gave out and would like push them up.
I'm pretty sure Roger was also saying this, if I recall correctly.
How scared were you all with the Y2K thing? Like when in the whole tech
period? I wasn't scared at all. Okay.
I was more worried that something else would happen because everybody was on edge. So I put by some canned food just in case. But
oh,
I
wasn't really?
Worried. I wasn't. Well, what is there to be scared of? The
honestly,
worst thing
in my head, the thought process was, okay, people are all on edge, so who knows what might happen? Somebody might do something stupid. Plus, I live in California now. I really should have an earthquake kit. So maybe I'll put a little canned food away. And if I'm wrong, which I probably am about Y2K, at least I've got food for an earthquake.
I would, if the worst came to worst and, you know, all the money disappeared or the electronic money, I would just go to Chinatown and barter for various things I would
do. Oh, I wasn't worried about all the money going away ever. I was more worried about like, oh, somebody might blow up the power station and we'll be without power or, you know, something like that.
Always the optimist, huh?
Oh, somebody might blow up the power station and we'll be without covers of Bang a Gong for, you know, quite a long time.
So. Oh, my God.
See, I also know 90s music. Wait, Bang a Gong's 80s. Never mind.
Remember,
I was asking Tom, so what was the name of that band or that song from that band that was played all the time in the 90s to kind of get everyone psyched for the, you know, for the year 2000. And he was bringing up, and I mistakenly brought it up too, was Jesus Jones, Right Here, Right Now.
Right.
And I was wrong, because what I was trying to say, or the song I wanted to identify was actually Van Halen's Right Now, or whatever that song, the name of the title was like, Right Now. They used it for the Crystal Pepsi ad.
I think everybody's blocked that out of their mind
right now. There's no tomorrow.
It was like it was just the whole video was just like different imagery, and they would have text explaining, like, you know, something depressing.
All right, Roger, I have a serious question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever tried to recreate the last year's best video of you're sitting there, and then your kid runs in, and then your wife runs in and grabs. Remember the reporter, the British reporter?
Yeah. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, you have the perfect setup there. I actually want to.
That's why I keep the door closed. Locked.
I want to see it happen. Just she rushes in. And then,
that kind of a thing.
Yeah, that was the top video of last year.
It's not funny if it's not spontaneous. Like, if it's set up, you could tell.
Yeah.
Well, sort of. You know, some things you could do pretty well. Most people would never guess it was set up. Maybe.
So, Tom, did you know your music? Was Steely Dan technically a 60s band? Or I always say this is a 70s band.
I think Steely Dan is.
Oh, okay, because I always tell people 70s. Someone corrected me.
All their hits are from the 70s. Let's look at
that. I would say that if you had to choose a decade, it would be the 70s.
Oh,
they're one of my, yeah. They're one of my favorite bands.
They were also formed in 1972.
Okay. Well,
and broke up in 1981. So pretty definitively 70s.
Okay, I never looked it up, but yeah, I was reprimanded by someone who said they were a 60s.
No, you could reprimand
that person right back.
All right, I will.
Exactly.
I will.
We'd probably consider Gordon Lightfoot country.
Gordon Lightfoot, we played on the country station that I worked for.
But he wasn't really.
He was more folk.
He was folk.
Singer-songwriter stuff, but he crossed over.
I just would not say country. No.
He's like Linda Ronstadt. We played Linda Ronstadt on the country station too, but I don't consider Linda Ronstadt country.
Linda Ronstadt.
Don't know. Like, I know the name, but I don't know a song of hers. I just know that she was a famous singer. Like, what's her most famous song?
Did she say something?
When Will
Aaron
I Be Loved or It's So Easy are probably the two.
It's So
Easy. See, I only knew the Toyota one. It's So Easy to Own a Tercel. Remember that?
Oh, what a feeling. Everyone jump in the air.
What a feeling is not a Linda Ronstadt song. The one that Sarah was singing is a derivative of a Linda Ronstadt
song. I know that it's an original song. I just didn't know that she sang it. Got it. Okay. Yeah, that's a popular song.
Yeah. She sang a song with Aaron Neville, Don't Know Much. That was her big hit. Like,
oh, that's a big one. That's
That was kind of a crossover.
But after she got her bachelor, she can no longer sing that song.
Wait, what? Okay.
Okay. Roger's a dad.
That was terrible.
Why? Because she knew stuff?
No, she knew a lot more. I don't know much, but I know I love you.
Well, I'd argue I still don't know very much, and I went to college. Just a big ruse.
It is.
It is, really. It really is.
Of all the knowable things, I don't know much. That's true.
Oh, Blue Bayou and You're No Good are also Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, she did You're No Good?
You're No Good. Oh, see? Okay, I know her.
That feels like a country song to me.
Yeah, she's got a country feel, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of weird. Do you remember Juice Newton?
Yes, Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts. She was also kind of the cross genre.
She was country, though. Like, she came from country, and then she tried to cross over into pop. Like Taylor Swift.
Or Shania Twain.
Taylor Swift, she did start in country, didn't she?
Yeah,
wow,
she did. Right.
Yeah.
Twain kind of disappeared as she made it up the charts.
Wow.
All right, folks. We're going to get out of here. Thanks for watching and hope you enjoyed today. We did. And
We liked it so much, we're going to do this tomorrow.
Broadcast terminated. You can keep playing it.
Yeah, see how fast the takedown hits. All right. Bye, patrons. Thank you.
Bye, patrons.